Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Welcome back to Revitalize and Replant. I don't know where you've been for the last couple of days, but we've been right here at these microphones just waiting for you to come back.
That's just all, waiting.
That's all we do.
That's right.
Dan Hurst is that beautiful voice you hear at the beginning. And Mark Halleck.
Hey, I'm here. My voice is not nearly as beautiful as his.
I love having you here.
Oh.
But I got to admit.
Yeah, sure.
We lose something when Dan's not
here. For sure. We miss him.
His voice is golden. His humor is exceptional. And his pride is through the roof. So, we love Dan.
Yep.
a great deal.
He's doing some commercial or something.
He is. Did
right
I tell
now.
You one time, he was my music guy at a church I planted back in, we planted back in Blue Springs, Missouri in the early 1980s.
Oh, wow.
He and I go, our dads were roommates in college. I've known him all my life. And we've gotten in trouble all my life. We've tried to make money all kinds of ways in college. We tried to refinish pianos. So we would go pick up an old church piano.
Whose idea was that?
Both of ours. I was going to do the cabinet work. He was going to do the interior work.
Okay.
Because you know there's a lot of money in old upright pianos, right? Yeah. So we take it to his little duplex while we're in college, and we take the whole thing apart. We take months to put this thing back together, right? And I do all the finished work and everything. And sure enough, we find this one guy who's willing to pay us some money for it. We're so excited. We rent a truck. We put it in the back of the truck. We pull the truck out of the driveway, and we didn't think to like tie it down, and so
why would you think of that?
It rolled against the tailgate. The
oh
tailgate opened,
no
and
way.
It just crashed into like 1,000 pieces.
Oh no!
So
way.
We picked it up and hauled it to the dump, and that was our piano rebuilding. And then he was a great singer, still is.
Oh yeah!
In fact, he used to have some music on
K-Love. Yeah.
He won't tell you that, but he was a great singer. And so when we were in college, whatever. And I was going to be his manager, right? And he told me he would give me 10% of every gig that he had.
Every gig he booked.
So we bought a little PV sound system, right? And I came up with these business cards printed up, and they were ASAF Productions, because I guess ASAF was, I guess that was David's manager.
That was cool.
In Psalm, right? So it was ASAF Productions. I couldn't get him to sing anywhere. So finally one day, I call these people, and I beg, and they, oh yeah, he can come. Hey, Dan, I got you a gig. Oh, that's great. Where is it? I said, it's at such and such church, man. It's a pretty big church.
Yeah.
Oh, good. When is it? I said, it's Tuesday morning. He said, Tuesday morning? Yeah, it's a great big event. He goes, is it Tuesday morning? It's like a senior adult dinner.
His first gig.
We get done. And the lady comes up to me and she goes, thank you so much. We don't have any budget, but it was so nice of you to come and do this. And he fired me.
That was it.
It was over. Anyway, so we miss Dan.
Okay, we miss Dan. Yeah, that's
he'll
right.
come back. We got even more stories,
yeah.
but he'll come back. Okay,
oh,
so but here's
yeah.
what we're going to talk
yeah.
about today,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about shepherding.
Yes.
So much of revitalization.
Mm-hmm.
It is not primarily strategy.
Mm.
It's not primarily great, strong leadership skills. It is primarily interpersonal skills
mm-hmm.
and shepherding.
That's right.
Plain and simple.
That's right.
And I want you to tell me what you know. Because, Mark, when people think about you, obviously they think you're an incredibly gifted expositor and preacher of the Word. You really are. And I really appreciate that. I preached a sermon not long ago, and someone I deeply respect remarked to a friend of mine without me knowing it. He said, you know, that Mark Clifton, that was the best, worst sermon I've ever heard. So, you know, I could preach the best, worst sermon you've ever heard. But
you're a great preacher.
Mark, you preach.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Mark, I put that on my card now, on my resume.
The best worst the preacher best you've worst, ever heard.
The best worst preacher you've ever heard. So, Mark, you, though, are a gifted preacher. I mean, without a doubt. You go around and preach with us, and I mean, the Lord has anointed you. Yeah. You're a
Praise
great leader of men. They follow you. But you are primarily a shepherd. So to this group that's still listening after all of my rambling, talk to us about shepherding.
Yeah. Well, I think you nailed it. I mean, I think at the end of the day, a pastor is a shepherd. And I think it's so important. It seems obvious, but a lot of us have never been taught what does it mean to be a shepherd. When we look at the scriptures, I think we see four primary functions of a biblical shepherd, and that's to know the flock. That means you got to know people. You got to know.
Okay, so stop right there.
Yep.
How do you get to know your flock?
Yeah. Well, you get to know. Well, first of all, you got to love people. You've got to actually want to get to know them.
And this is hard for me.
Yeah.
You have to know their names.
You've got to know names. That's right.
You've got to be intentional.
Yep. That's where
if
it begins.
If that means even pictures, you know, if they've got Facebook profiles, look at that. Get their names. It's not even a bad idea this day and age, and I have done this.
Yep.
I'll see somebody that will see me in a meeting or somewhere. I'll say, oh, Mark, it's good to see you. And I go, hi, and I'll look at their name tag, right?
Yeah.
And I'll say, oh, Greg, good to see you. Hey, Greg, hey, would you mind if I got a selfie with you? No, that'd be fine. I take a selfie with Greg, right?
Yep.
And I get his name tag in the selfie.
Yep.
And then I know who he is from that point
on. You
can
remember.
Because I'm not good with names.
No, I know. It's
hard
work.
Or if someone comes up to you at church and a new person or whoever tells you their name, remember their name.
Yes.
Find some way.
Yep.
Because when you go up to someone, I remember people always say about my dad, invariably one of the primary things they say is, Brother Harry knew everybody's name. Now, he's been dead for a long time, but people still know he knew my name.
And I promise you, he worked at that.
Oh, he did. He knew how important that was.
It takes work,
Not only know their names, but their spouse's names, their children's names.
Yep.
That's really important.
Well, that's why.
So when
I would
say, get to know your people.
To know them.
Know their by name.
You've got to know them by name. And this is why I would say this. I believe every pastor with their staff should have a weekly, what I'd call a shepherding meeting. Okay, so here's what this means. On Monday nights, every Monday night, you've never been to our shepherding meeting.
I have not, no.
5 o'clock to 6:30 every Monday night, we have all of our pastor elders and all of our staff. And every week, we take attendance at our church. Now, the way we do that is we don't pass, you know, the old attendance folder. We actually have two staff people with iPads at the entrances working along with our pastors to count and make sure everybody's there by name. And so Monday night, we get a print off of everybody, regular attenders and members who were there and who was not there.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it sounds pretty intense, and it is. But this shows you how you have to be so intentional. Here's the other thing we do. Is if we don't know the name of every visitor who comes, we're at least going to have a description. And we've got Facebook up on the big screen, and we're gonna stalk them. We're gonna find out, who is this person? Who did they come with? Why are they here? Because every life matters. So we do that every Monday night. I don't know how I can know the people of our church from the nursery to the nursing home.
Okay, now,
I want to know kiddos.
Tell us, and I realize I'm in a normative size church, right?
Yep.
But under 50 is where I'm at right now.
Yep.
So. But tell me how what's your average weekend attendance on your main campus?
Okay, so here's the deal. So we average, we're a little bigger now, so we're about 650 people.
Okay.
So this gives you an idea. Now, we did this starting at the very beginning when we were 30 people, and it was my wife and I every week. Literally, and we had wrote down everybody's name, and we just kind of walked through, okay, who was here, who was not here, new visitors. As we grew, we had to scale this thing, right? And so as we raised up other pastor elders, so now we have 8 pastor elders. So I had to multiply myself, right? I've got to, you know, and alongside that is so the staff members. We also have other women that are part of our shepherding team that work with the elders. And so again, this is leadership stuff, but for the purpose of really biblical shepherding, where people can't slip through the cracks. Like you want a sticky church, this is how you do it. Small groups are great, and you need small groups, but there's nothing like a shepherding model where you are known. We get all the time, oh my gosh, I've never had a pastor who called me. I've never had a pastor follow up on me.
And know my name.
And know my name. And so in knowing the sheep, here's another thing that you've got to do if you're going to be a shepherding church, is it's a two-way street. And here's what I mean. You as a pastor, you've got to pursue the sheep. You've got to know the sheep. But you also have to help the sheep know your voice, right? Jesus says, I know my sheep know me, which means in this day and age, people don't know how to have a pastor. They don't know how to have a pastor. A lot of people go in churches where they go on a Sunday, but you know, the only time they ever talk to their pastor is if something bad happens. So in our membership process, even as people start visiting, we have to give them a vision, say, hey, look, one of our pastors is going to be following up on you regularly to pray for you, encourage you, and don't freak out about this. You're not in trouble. It's just that this is what God has actually called pastors to do.
Wow, that is awesome.
And so we have to coach them and help them understand how to be shepherded, that this is a two-way street. We take it seriously.
You know, this is so intentional. And you think about how much of this we don't do as pastors. It's just so... And you mentioned about the name, someone knowing your name.
Yeah.
You know, it means so much. And even in a secular environment, if you walk into a store or a restaurant, and the retail person, the wait person, whoever, the owner of the store, you walk in and they call you by name.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark.
Oh, it's totally different.
Now, sometimes it's not good.
Yeah.
Because I was with one of my adult sons one time, and they're a little more into health than I am.
Yeah.
And taking good care of themselves.
You bet.
And sometimes they worry about me, as they should. But I decided on this particular day with my son Trenton that we just need to drive through McDonald's real quick and you get something. So I ordered at the speaker, and then when I get to the window, the teenager there goes, "Hey, Mark, it's great to see you again." My son said, "Dad."
Oh my gosh.
When they know you by name at the McDonald's drive-thru, that's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign. That's good. That's a good example.
All right, go ahead.
Well, listen, the verse I want to share is Hebrews 13:17, which is where we read this. Have confidence in your leaders. Now, he's talking to believers. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Now, some pastors love that, right? Well, why? Why should we submit to the authority of our pastors? Because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. And then it says, do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. We have to ingrain that verse on the hearts of all of our pastors and people in the church.
I think sometimes we as pastors get hung up on the submitting part.
Yep.
Without the issue of giving an account part.
Yeah, that's right.
And that we're to do it with joy.
Yep.
And that we're to be the greatest servants to them.
Yep.
You know, when Jesus wanted to model leadership for his disciples, he girded himself, he got on his knees, and he did the lowest thing a servant could do, and that was wash their feet.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's how you develop real leadership in a church.
Amen.
Is by serving them at the lowest, at any level you can.
Yeah.
And not rushing away from them and not trying to close the conversation quickly, not trying to avoid them.
Yep.
You know, I've said before kind of humorously, my dad might have lived 10 more years if he'd had caller ID back when he was a pastor. Bless his heart, he had to take every phone call. Didn't even have an answering machine in those days.
Oh, man.
The phone rings, and if it's that nutty believer who's got a problem all the time, well, you're just stuck on the phone. You and I, we can look at that phone and go, "Yeah, not taking that one right now."
Yeah, yeah.
We got to be careful about that.
No, we do. That's right. That's right.
We've got to be careful about that.
Well, and this is why I think there's two questions that we talk about in our membership class of how do I, to help people learn how to have a pastor and to be a good member. One is, what kind of sheep am I? What kind of sheep am I? Am I seeking to live out Hebrews 13:17 and help my pastor shepherd me and my family? Or am I failing to do my part? Okay, so sometimes we don't put any responsibility in our people when the truth is they're the second half of Hebrews 13:17.
Okay, right? Go back and let's redo that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the first half of Hebrews
is the pastor. The emphasis there is, and here's what it says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, right? Okay, well, that's what they're supposed to do. Why? Because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Okay. So we have to give an account to the Lord for the souls of the
earth. And if we're truly keeping watch over them with the love of the Lord, the authority will not seem oppressive.
That's exactly right.
In fact, it will be like a loving, caring mentor
who's doing
everything he can do to help you succeed.
Yeah. I mean, you know that you're not leading well if you're demanding that people submit to your authority.
Isn't that the truth?
You know you're a good leader, a godly leader, when people want to submit to your authority.
Isn't that the truth?
Without you even having to tell them. That's the truth.
All right, so that's number one. Now, the other side is, how are the sheep supposed
to
respond?
That's right, that's the other side, right? So helping them, what kind of sheep am I? And what are some things we can do? And this is where I just want to hit for a few minutes, five things that we talk about, like, in our church, in terms of how to be a faithful church member, or a faithful sheep in this sense, in a shepherding relationship. And there's five things we emphasize. Number one is, we want you to attend regularly. So part of it is, I can't be a good shepherd to you if I never see you.
You know, we talked in a previous podcast about the, I think it was 13 church members that drive you crazy.
Yeah.
And one of them was the, you call them the fans.
Fans, that's right.
The ones who show up for a couple of weeks in a row. This is the greatest church.
We love it.
We are here. Sorry we haven't been here. Man, we are all in. And then you don't see them for
that's
6 months.
Yeah, yeah. It's really hard to shepherd fans. That's just the bottom line.
And then 6 months later, here they come in like they've never missed a Sunday.
We love it, Pastor.
We're so glad to be here.
They're wearing their T-shirt the church.
And then gone for 4 months.
Then gone again. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty hard to shepherd those
folks.
No,
it really is. So attending regularly, there has to be a commitment. Number two is, engage deeply. So you can attend a church regularly and never engage deeply, right? This isn't what God desires. He wants us to go all in. And so part of what we say is, we not only want you to be around, but we want you to be all in. We want you to be part of what we're doing, bought into what we're doing, because that's what's going to be best for you. That's going to help us best shepherd you and lead you. That's going to be best for the community as a whole. So engaging deeply. Okay, number three is this, preserve unity. Preserve unity. And this is a big one, right? And we've got to name it. You know, don't just assume people know how important unity is in the church. We've got to talk about it. Why is it important? How do we fight for unity? This is where things like unity, humility with one another, humility in terms of serving one another, as you said so well, preserving unity. Number four is, serve faithfully. You know, again, especially in declining churches, man, a big thing is, how do we help people get out of the stands where it's easy to throw rocks at everybody and how they're doing it wrong, get them out of the stands and into the game using the gifts God's given them. And so we have an expectation, hey, we want you to serve faithfully, to use your gifts. And then the fifth thing is this, and we emphasize this big time at Calvary, is extend grace continually. We are all broken. We are all imperfect. As pastors, we're imperfect. And so just as we are called to show grace to the sheep, we need the sheep to show grace to us.
Okay, so here's what I'm saying at this point. This is some really good stuff. And Kyle, we'll put this on the show notes. So please, guys, when you subscribe to these podcasts, you're able to get to the show notes. And the show notes are really better than the podcast. Actually, about anything is probably better than the podcast. But the show notes are really better than the podcast. So this will be in the show notes. And here's the deal. Mark has just outlined for you the basis of a church membership covenant.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, most of us don't have church membership covenants. We just have church members. And they sign a card on the promise of a letter or the statement of faith and baptism or even profession of faith to be baptized. We've said many times over, we need membership covenants. And again, in previous podcasts, you can go back and look at our library and find some on that. I'm not suggesting you take the 60 members you have now and tell them on one Sunday, either you sign this covenant or you hit the road, Jack, because you'll be looking for a church. But you can work toward the idea that helping that church understand that from this point forward, every new member will be signing this church covenant.
Yeah.
And the church covenant says, as pastors, these are the things we're committed to doing.
That's right. Yep.
And as members, these are the things you're committed to doing.
Exactly.
So we enter into this relationship understanding those things. Yeah. And then the members have a right to come to us as pastors and say, no one's contacted me in a year.
Exactly.
And my child was in the hospital,
and
we had some financial issues. That's legit.
Yep.
But then the pastors have a legitimate thing to say. It's come to our understanding that you've been saying some really harsh and critical things about a fellow church member, and we've got to work through this because in our covenant relationship, we've agreed not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important.
It's really important.
And so shepherding is a two-way street.
Yep. That's right. And And here's what I would, I hate to promote this, but I would love to, and if you guys, if you need a copy, let me know. But I wrote a book a few years ago called The Priorities of a Shepherd Pastor.
Don't hate to promote it.
Okay. But here's the whole reason we wrote it, was to help pastors, those who are listening to us, develop an intentional shepherding strategy.
What's the name
of
the book?
Church. It's called The Priorities of a Shepherd Pastor.
The Priorities of a Shepherd.
You can get it on Amazon, or you can go to Acoma, .org, or just contact us. I mean, whatever. But again, it's a resource written specifically for this purpose. And what I lay out there is, even as you grow, you know, we've had to break our church down into what we call mini flocks. Uh-huh. So each of our pastor elders essentially shepherd a flock of 80 to 100 people. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? How do you integrate deacons? So each of our mini flocks are shepherded by pastor elders and deacons. So anyway, I just think it takes some strategy and it takes some thoughtfulness. But I think this is what should be one of the great strengths of the normative
size
church.
For those of you who don't know, because I realize we don't announce it in every podcast, Mark is the pastor of the Calvary Church in Inglewood, Colorado.
Yeah.
And it's a replant that's done really well and has replanted lots of other church. I'm the, right now I'm the, as this podcast is going out, I'm the interim pastor of the United Faith Church in St. Joseph, Missouri.
That's right.
And, but who knows?
By right up the road.
Right up the road. And so that's what I'm doing. It's a church of about 30 or 40 people. And, trying to find a new pathway, and I'm enjoying that. So, but check out Mark's book. What's the name of it?
It's called The Priorities of a Shepherd Pastor.
The Priorities of a Shepherd Pastor. Yep. You can find it on Amazon or any of the other places. Yep. Make sure you do that and realize that one of the first things you need to do in revitalization is be a shepherd.
Yep.
In fact, it is the first thing you need to do.
Amen.
And I want to end with this. Henry Blackaby had a powerful sermon one time. You can find it on the internet. You can find it on YouTube. Man, he was all in at this. He was at his height and his strength and his power and his preaching. And he talked about the shepherd and the leaving the one for the 90 and nine. And he said, you know, you got one sheep in your flock that begins to wander away or begins to drop off or begins to be inconsistent in attendance. The tendency is to just kind of ignore them. I've got others to take care of. Mm-hmm. These people are inconsistent. He says, what kind of shepherd ignores a sheep who wanders off from the flock?
Wow.
That's a terrible shepherd. Yep. The whole point of a shepherd is to know who all the sheep in the flock
That's
and protect
right.
them all. Go after that sheep.
That's right.
Don't ignore that Amen. Sheep. And I've never forgotten that.
No, that's so good.
Because we'll look out there and go, you know, they haven't been here for 4 weeks. Yeah, they're just inconsistent.
Yep, yep.
You know, I don't know about them. But boy, this other family, man, I want to spend some time mm-hmm. with them. They are here and they are on time and they're doing
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You need to go after those inconsistent sheep.
Well, and that's such a good word. And I started this at the beginning and we don't have time to go into it. But I said there were four primary functions of a shepherd. Mm-hmm. Knowing the flock, which is really what we've talked about here.
Yeah.
But then what follows knowing is feeding, leading, and protecting. But you can't feed, lead, and protect the flock if you don't know the flock.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So it's
well, let's
knowing.
Do the next podcast right now. Coming up next will be feeding, leading
and protecting.
And protecting.
All right, let's
flock.
Do it.
All right? And it'll be really good. And if it's not, you'll get your money back. All right? I promise.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.